I've really looked forward to our time together today. And today's message is more like a church family talk than it is a sermon, but I have given a title to our time and to our message, and it's simply this: Together. So if you haven't already, grab your Bibles, and I'd like you to open up to Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament. This is one of my most favorite books in the entire Bible. And God, through Paul, gives so much content about the bigness of God and the salvation that's possible in him and his grace. Oh, I love the book of Romans. Well, to begin this letter, Paul introduces himself to a church that he had never met before. But yet, what you're going to see in this letter is that Paul deeply cared for these people, and he wanted to see them. He wanted to spend time with them. He wanted to rub shoulders with them and encourage them. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. And I'm going to be reading as we go through this passage today out of the New Living Translation. Now, Paul begins here in verse 8 and says this: "Let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world." What a testimony of their faith and of their trust in God. And as they were going through their lives and as their faith was deepening in the Lord, often you could say that it was deepening in our lives, deepening in their lives, because they were going through challenging situations. They actually lived in the capital of the godless Roman Empire. And yet, as they were living in those challenging, difficult circumstances, Paul is hearing about their faith. It's being reported around the known world that, man, these believers in Rome are for real. Like, they're going through it, but they are trusting in God as they go through it. And isn't that just how it works in life, where when we're walking through challenging times, and if we keep our eyes on Jesus, wow, our faith can really, really deepen. And we have seen that, heard of that from so many of you, that your faith is growing as we've gone through these challenging days, weeks, and months. Your faith is deepening. And not only that, it seems like the love of God, when our faith deepens, grows as well. And it reaches out and touches people. We have heard story after story of CCC people who are reaching out and caring for those that are around them. It was about 3 weeks ago that I received word that Ina Feathers, who was a widow in our church for many years, had passed away. And this was a lady who loved God. She loved her church. She loved people. And after I heard that news, a little bit later, I picked up the phone and I called Mark and Kathy Petrimo. And the reason why I called them is because they have been caring for Ina, as others have, for many, many years. I mean, the New Testament is clear about our responsibility as the church to care for widows who have no one else to care for them. And Mark and Kathy, among others, did that faithfully. Get this, for 17 years. For 17 years, Mark and Kathy made sure that her lawn was mowed. For 17 years. They made sure that her snow was shoveled. They made sure that she had a ride to get groceries or to the doctor's office if that's what she needed. For 17 years. And I called Mark just to thank him and Kathy for their incredible acts of love during almost two decades for this believer in Jesus. And you know what Mark said to me? He said, "I think we got out of it more than she did." Have you ever got off the phone with someone and just thought, man, I want to grow up to be like them? I mean, just that love and that care and that generosity that just exudes from them. And I'll tell you what, they are a picture of this church. So many of you have that heart, have that desire to reach out and to care and to make a difference. And may we be a people who continue to be inspired by each other to live out the faith with a deep love for God and a deep love for others. I love this church so much. And Paul goes on in talking about the church that he was writing to, the church in Rome. And he said this: "God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news about his son. One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. For I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. Now, Paul is speaking here of a mutual encouragement, and you'll see that in some of the translations. It's like a two-way street that he's referring to. And Paul uses a word here in the original Greek that it's the only time that's used in the entire Bible. It's a compound word, and the main part of this compound word was a word that was used by the military in the ancient world to describe a military leader or military leaders who would come alongside their troops before they go into battle and let them know, hey, it's going to be tough, it's going to be challenging, we're going to face obstacles, but yeah, we need to stand together, we need to put our shields together, and we're going to come out victorious. We're going to stand tall in the face of opposition. It was like, guys, get ready. It's going to be tough, it's going to be hard, but we're going to make it. Now, the other part of this compound word speaks of unity, union, and completeness. And when you put these together, Paul is trying to get across to the Roman believers that, hey, I want to be with you to encourage you, but you're going to encourage me as well. It's this mutual encouragement. It's the way the church is to operate. And this is how this passage reads in the Message paraphrase. The longer this waiting goes on, the deeper the ache. I so want to be there to deliver God's gift in person and watch you grow stronger right before my eyes. But don't think I'm not expecting to get something out of this too. You have as much to give me as I do to you. And I know it's been said a lot, like a lot, but we can't wait for us to get back together as the church, to celebrate together, to worship God together, and as Paul is talking about in this passage, to encourage each other, to be mutually built up, to be mutually comforted and consoled and inspired to live for God, for Him, live for Him, completely for Him in this world that we are in. As you read the New Testament, you see that the church, the early church, was persecuted. You see that the early church was scattered, but the church was not to be isolated. And we see this coming together right at the beginning as God formed the early church, which is read about in Acts chapter 2, where they joined together, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the doctrine, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They came together in the temple courts. They as believers came together with even their possessions, and they gave to anyone who had need. And as they came together for prayer, they came together in their homes, and they would fellowship together over meals. And the Word of God said that they had gladness and favor in their hearts and among the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And as you read that passage at the end of Acts 2, and then you read throughout the book of Acts, you see the words together. You see the words fellowship. And these are key components for a church. Several weeks ago, as we've been working on plans to come back together, I believe the Lord dropped something in my heart, and it was this. It was like, Keith, don't look at the ultimate goal as hundreds of people being in the same room worshiping God. I mean, that's awesome. We can't wait. But don't look at that as the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal for the church is to be the church. And I want to commend you, CCC, because through this time, you have been the church. We've been moving forward and honoring the King, worshiping Him. We've been moving forward and experiencing our next steps in the faith, and we've been influencing our world, the love and the power of God, and I commend you for that. And as we have come through this time, we know that we've been moving forward as the church, but we also know that a key component of being the church is being together. And I'm thankful for our online services. I'm thankful for Zoom calls and cards that can be written in the mail and emails and phone conversations and all those things that we've tried to do to stay connected and pray together and worship God together. But there's something about being together. And as we have gone through these last few days, weeks, and months, and especially in these last several weeks, as we have faced things in our communities and as we have faced things in our nation, I believe that it has accentuated our need for us to come together as the church and to worship God and to stand together in the faith. And I'm very excited to announce that the church board and the pastoral staff is in complete unity in looking toward the weekend of June 21, which is only 2 weeks away, for being our time of regathering together as the church in services. And we are so excited about only 2 weeks away. Only 2 weeks away. Well, there are a few things that I believe need to be shared as we prepare for that, as we are preparing, as we as the church are preparing for these coming days. The first thing I would say is this, these decisions and this decision of regathering on the weekend of June 21 hasn't been made lightly, okay? These decisions have come through much prayer, much research, much counsel, much conversation, and let me add again, much prayer. I'll say that one again because that has been such a big part of this. Because we truly want to do things in the right way at the right time. It's very, very important. And some of you might be thinking, wow, I think we should have met like 3 months ago or 2 months ago or 2 weeks ago. Some of you might be thinking, I think we should wait longer. And that is okay. That is okay. But here's what I want to say. Church leadership has a piece that this is the right time for us to re-engage and begin to move forward in that way. The other thing I wanted to let you know is that we're continually monitoring the recommendations of the CDC for reopening places of worship and are adopting key recommendations that fit for us in these days. Because of that, and because of just the nature of the time that we're in right now, you can expect, so get ready for this, you can expect there to be some temporary changes. I want to underscore the word temporary, but I want you to know that there are things that we feel as leadership that we need to do in order to do this in the right way right now, temporarily. See, as a result of social distancing, we plan for us to sit in every other row in the auditorium, and to accommodate that, we plan to have 3 weekend services where we're giving you 3 options where you could come to accommodate the number of people that we feel comfortable having in the auditorium at one time. The first one will be on Saturday, June 20, Saturday at 7 p.m., and then on Sunday at our normal 9 and 11 a.m. times, as well as our online service as well. And we're going to be planning to take a count at the doors for those services to make sure that we can stay under the limit that we feel is appropriate. So I know that a lot of you are super excited to come back together for services. Please don't come to every service, okay? Please don't come to all 3 services because we want there to be room for everybody. Masks are going to be optional, so whoever wants to wear a mask is welcome to, and there will also have signage that's clear about other safety precautions and safety notes that we want you to be aware of. There will also, and this is temporary, right, temporary changes, but there will also be no in-person kids ministry available and offered at this time. Now we plan to have a grab bag for the preschoolers when they come in. It'll be fun for them coming in. And really, to be honest, we as families have been worshiping together over these last couple months, and so we are inviting you to bring your kids into the auditorium. Let's worship together. Let's hear from the Word together. And we believe it's going to be a special time as we have these all church services. Now, our special online kids ministry that has been prepared, it's going to continue to be prepared for the preschoolers and then one for the elementary age kids, is still going to be prepared throughout the week, and then it will be aired at 4 o'clock on Sundays. And so families can come together on the weekend in one of those services, and then you can look forward to at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Those kids ministry opportunities are going to be right there for you. We are working on a timeline for when we could begin having in-person kids ministry. That's very important to us. Once again, we want to do it in the right way. We want to do it at the right time. Know that church leadership is going to be continually assessing this, and so even after the first weekend, there might be some changes. There might be some updates or adaptations. Just stay tuned. We'll keep you posted. We'll continue to communicate with you what those might be so that you are prepared for those coming the next weekend. All right, let me take a moment to hit you with just some common sense stuff. You already know all this. I just want to review it with you because I think it's that important. If you're sick or you have symptoms of a cold or COVID-19 or you've been in close contact with someone in the 14 days prior to that first service who has COVID-19, we would just ask, just stay home during that time. You can be encouraged by the online service. And that being said, as always, if you're sick, if you're struggling with anything, whether it's in your body or in your emotions and you need prayer, call the church office. We would love the opportunity to pray with you. We want you to know that we truly care about your health and safety. And so if you believe that you're in somewhat of a vulnerable or high-risk group, consider taking part in the online worship service for a time. We want to mention this. There is risk, okay? There is risk. I saw a guy yesterday riding his bike while either watching a movie on his phone or texting. I don't know what he was doing. And I slowed down like, I got to see this. And he almost went right into traffic. I mean, there's risk. Some of us, like, chewing gum and walking at the same time is risk. And we get that. We know that. And I'm kind of joking about it. But the reality is that we live in a time, in a season right now where going out and being about, there is risk involved, and we get that. We can't provide a 100% germ-free, risk-free environment. Well, we're going to be doing everything that we can. We're going to have the facility ready. We plan to sanitize before, during, and after each of the services, so you can just know that and be encouraged by that. But as you know, there could be risk whether you go pick up a pizza or you go sit in a restaurant. There could be risk. I was talking to the church board about this, and we were having a discussion about us moving forward as a church in this way. And one of the board members reminded us all of this, that there are churches around the world who, when they come together to worship God, they don't know if they might be killed. They don't know if their church building will be burned that day. They don't know if the entire church would be arrested. They don't know. There's risk. We are people of faith. We're people of faith. So we're not going to walk in fear, but we do have to understand that it is possible for someone who is 100% feeling healthy. They're asymptomatic. It is possible, isn't it, for them to go to a restaurant and sit in a restaurant that you're in, or go to a church service that is the same church service that you're sitting in. I mean, it is possible for them to be asymptomatic and then days later or a week later develop symptoms. There's risk, and we have to be aware of that. That being said, some of you might not be ready right away to re-engage in-person gatherings, and I want you to know that is absolutely okay. That is okay. We are reopening in a couple of weeks, but hey, if you're not ready yet, you need some more time, that is okay. And that's why we're providing the online worship experience for you. You can continue to worship with us online. You can continue to hear the word with us online and be built up and encouraged. So, if you need more time, take it. All right, a couple last things as we move forward in these next couple weeks preparing for these services. We got to be ready to give respect. You know, if someone's wearing a mask and you don't think they should be, it doesn't matter. Give them respect, all right? If you don't want to wear a mask and someone else says, someone is wearing a mask, I'm getting confused right now thinking about mask, no mask, all that. Hey, give respect. Give people respect in terms of not just their preferences for those things, but give them respect in terms of their preferences for space, okay? Before going up and just shaking hands or trying to give someone a big bear hug, respect them if they don't want to do that. If you reach out a hand to shake their hand and they run from you, don't get upset, all right? Don't be offended by that. I'm kind of joking with that, but we have to give respect to people with where they're at. I don't see this as a moral issue. I see this as a preference issue. And every single person is at a slightly different place when it comes to taking precautions during this time. And that is okay, and that has to be okay for us to be able to come back together in these services. How about this? Let's give grace. Let's give grace. Let's be ready to just shower grace on people. Give grace to church leadership, as this has been and will be continuing to be a very challenging time, a very challenging road to navigate. We ask for grace. Let's give grace to each other if they have different preferences than we have when it comes to precautions. Let's give grace to parents. I mean, parents are going to be bringing their kids into the auditorium. And we know that if a kid is being real disruptive, their parents will take them out to the lobby. But let's be a people who give grace at the same level that we want to receive grace. So what about other ministries? Well, starting tomorrow, church building will be open for prayer. And that includes noon prayer on Wednesdays. Bible studies and small groups will begin to re-engage as the volunteer leaders feel comfortable. And as of now, our student ministry, we plan to begin that on Wednesday, June 24th, with the same similar protocols for safety that I've just described to you. Now, yes, there are a number of temporary changes. Yes, there are a number of things that we're going to be doing that are a bit different over the next little bit. But let's keep the main thing the main thing. Let me summarize. Our plan, Lord willing, is that in two weeks from now, we're going to begin services having in-person gatherings. So we're talking about three options in person. So Saturday evening at 7 o'clock, Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m., and then our online service will be at 10 a.m. So we look forward to coming together as you feel comfortable with that, and we honestly can't wait. We can't wait till we can come back together. Paul goes on, Romans 1. As he's talking about his deep emotion and wanting to be with this church, his love and his concern for them, even though he had never even met them in person. That's what he said. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit just as I've seen among other Gentiles. For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and uneducated alike. So I'm eager to come to you in Rome too, to preach the good news. He wanted to come to preach the good news. Lately, there has been so much bad news. There's been COVID-19. There's been cancellations galore. There have been businesses that have had to close, jobs that have been lost. I mean, there has been sickness, there's been death, there's been flooding. There's a horrible killing in Minnesota last week. So much bad news. And don't you wish at times when you read a news article, when you have a conversation with someone, when we see or hear something that is like, that is just wrong. That is, no. Don't you wish you could just snap your fingers and the flood never happened? No, don't you wish you could just snap your fingers and the COVID virus would be gone? Or snap your fingers and the sin virus of immorality, or the sin virus of hatred and prejudice would just be gone. And unfortunately, we can't just snap our fingers and all the bad news is gone. The only antidote that I know of for bad news is good news. And not just any good news, I'm talking about the good news. Paul the Apostle couldn't wait to get to Rome because he wanted to preach the good news. Verse 16, he describes this when he says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ." This is the good news I'm talking about. This is the good news that's the antidote for any bad news. It's the good news about Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, stepped into our brokenness, stepped into our world that we messed up, comes in and says, there's hope. There's hope of eternal life. There's hope of being reconciled to God. There's hope of being reconciled to people. There's hope. And Jesus, when he came, brought in that which we could not bring in ourselves. He brought in that which we didn't deserve. He brought in the good news about the kingdom of God, about the king and his ways, about this one who loved so much that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but had everlasting life. And Paul goes on to say about this good news about Christ that it is the power of God at work. The good news about Christ is not just a story. It's not just this footnote in a book. The good news about Christ is everything. It is this active, working, constantly pursuing power of God. And it's this power and only this power that can change a life. It's this power and only this power that can change a heart. It's this power and only this power that can change a nation. It's the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. I love how inclusive this is. Everyone who believes can experience the power of God in their life, can experience the good news washing over them. The good news that doesn't take away all the problems, but it shows us the way through it, shows us the way out of it, shows us how we can overcome, shows us how we can win, it shows us how we can love. And I believe that what we need to hear and what we need to be reading about this week and what we need to be just dwelling on is this good news about Jesus. The power of God that's at work. Verse 17 says this, "This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. And this is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life." This is an opportunity for you, wherever you're at right now, if you have not placed your faith in Jesus, you haven't placed your full trust, your confidence in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you have not surrendered your life to him and asked him to be the king of your life, this is your moment. This is your moment. Like right now, you can do this. Right now, you can call upon the Lord. Say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Replace anything in my life that's not good. Replace anything in my life that's not right with what is right and with what is good. Replace the fear. Replace any prejudice. Replace any anxiety. Replace that sin. Replace anything and everything that's not of you. Replace it with your presence, God. I submit my life to you, Jesus. You are the Lord of my life. And by your grace, I will serve you for the rest of my life." You see, right here, right in this moment, you can call on the name of the Lord, and as the scriptures say, you will be saved. You know, this is an opportunity for people who have not opened their life up to God to open their life up to God and experience the power of God. But church, I believe this is an opportunity for us to open up our heart again to God, to reopen and to continually open our life up to the one who loves us so much, to the one who offers his power. I mean, the same power that raised Christ from the dead can dwell in us. I'll tell you what, we need God. We need his salvation. We need his love pouring into us. We need his, as the Holy Spirit searchlight shining in our hearts and in our lives so that if there's anything at all that's not of God, it can be taken out. Would you join me now in praying? Lord, we come before you at the end of this message. We recognize, Jesus, that you have brought the good news and that you are the good news, and that we have the opportunity for the power of God, the power of God Almighty, to be in us, to work in us, to change us from the inside out. And we ask you, even in this moment, God, that you would search our hearts and that you would find if there be some unclean way in us. Lord, if there is anything that's not of you, God, I pray that you will rip it out. We renounce it. We lay it down. Lord, if there is any prejudice, if there is any hatred, Lord, if there is anything that is not of you, I pray that it will be taken out of our lives. God, if there is an anxious heart, Lord, I pray that you will take that out. God, if there is a part of our life that we are not trusting you in, I pray that you will take that out, that you will replace hopelessness with hope. God, that you will bring beauty from the ashes. God, that you will look into our hearts and that you would do a surgery in every single one of us so that we would be a people who love, be a people who are set free to serve you, be a people who trust you, a people who speak up when we need to speak up, a people who are quick to listen and slow to speak when we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. God, would you help us? Would you help us as people? Would you help us as a church as we go through these next few days to truly be people who don't just talk about the good news but live the good news? Lord, this good news that is transformative in each and every one of us as we reach out to you and as we welcome you as the King of our lives. God, I thank you for these moments that we've had together, and I pray that your grace and your mercy and your peace will be upon us all. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. May God bless you as you go through this week.